Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The Bill of Rights, just what are they? How did they come about and why? Are they still important today? Unfortunately, by and large, Americans of today are ignorant of their rights, the origin of those rights, the real intent of the Founding Fathers when they wrote our country's founding documents, and they leave it up to the politicians, lawyers, and judges to tell them just what their rights are or aren't. However, is it wise for Americans to be so ignorant of the true history of the U.S. and the vision of the Founding Fathers? As we take a closer look today at the Bill of Rights, my guest is Karis Coker. She lives in Delaware County and is a homeschool mom emeritus. She's the co-chair of the Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee and an APT certified tour guide, and we'll find out what that is a little bit later in the program. Thanks, Karis, for being with us.
I appreciate the opportunity, Diane. Good morning.
Good morning. And you're a homeschool mom emeritus. How many kids did you homeschool?
10.
All 10 of your kids. You get a badge of courage for doing that, for sure. This is completely not dealing with the Bill of Rights, but why do you feel it's important to not put your children in public school?
Because of the ideology that is undergirding every subject matter, whether it's from math to history to science to literature. But this was back in the mid-80s when we had made the decision to homeschool our children rather than to put them in public schools. And frankly, I had taught school at a private Christian school, and my thought at the first was of how many more things we could do since we wouldn't have to be standing in line for recess, et cetera, et cetera.
True, that's true, yeah.
However, little did I know how life itself snowballs. And
yeah.
Things I wasn't able to accomplish all that I had hoped to at the outset, but they have done well as far as their comparison with their peers and their education. We've been very thankful. But it is the ideology especially that has swept through, by design, the public education system.
Absolutely. It's so much worse now than it was in the 80s, for sure.
Well, listen, our first child was born in 1980, and we took childbirth classes at a room that was also rented to the local NEA chapter, and it was during the time of the national election, and it was a competition, and each of the individuals campaigning to be head of the National Educators Association had their vision on the wall posted on a poster-sized document.
I bet that was an education.
Oh, it was dreadful education.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm sure that had something to do with my decision, my determination for our children not to be in public schools.
Wow. And I think the Bill of Rights, I think the situation with the Bill of Rights, or the ignorance of the Bill, what the Bill of Rights is, I think that we point right directly to the public education system in this country to explain the ignorance of the majority of American citizens. We hear about different quote-unquote rights.
Like homeowner's Bill of Rights.
Well, true, but I'm thinking about the right for a woman to control her own body, you know, the right to an abortion, the right to marry the one you love, even if it's someone of the same sex.
Well, Diane, this goes beyond the public school system, and as I was preparing some things for homeschoolers that I posted on the local homeschool groups for their consideration on Bill of Rights Day, and lo and behold, the National Constitution Center has all sorts of events they're hosting that day. They started this 3 or 4 years ago, which I'm glad for. But on their website, it makes this statement: the Bill of Rights, which gave us many of the rights and freedoms we enjoy today. That is not so. Mm-hmm. Our Bill of Rights do not originate with the Bill of Rights, the document itself. We need to go back to the Declaration of Independence, which puts it more accurately when it says that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of...
But you surely couldn't expect the National Constitution Center to mention Creator. I mean, you know.
Well... However, it just flies in the face of the historical record to say that the Bill of Rights are what gave us or give us the rights and freedoms we enjoy
exactly.
today.
Exactly. And just
secured
the fact... For sure, because the founders recognized that certain rights were endowed by our Creator, which means that it was a natural right.
Correct. having been made in the image of God
and
set apart from all other creatures. And frankly, the Bill of Rights is a civil embodiment of the Ten Commandments. Your right to life, thou shalt not kill. Your right to property, thou shalt not steal, and so forth.
Well, I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right about that. So why do you feel it's so important to educate people in the Bill of Rights, and how did you become so interested in this?
Well, our interest in an annual observance began in 1991 for the bicentennial of the Bill of Rights, and we were astonished. First of all, in fall of 1990, we went to Dover, Delaware, and visited the grand exhibit by the Philip North Company, which was traveling all around the country. And we went in excited, and we came out horrified and heartbroken. It was an ACLU rubber-stamped exhibit of every vile distortion, misapplication, misappropriation of the Bill of Rights that you can imagine.
Oh, my goodness.
Videos with loud music and large screens illustrating people trampling on the flag, burning the flag as though this is what the Bill of Rights was to provide. And the lawyers that they had there as champions of the Bill of Rights, including the woman who first procured a right for abortion, and Clarence Darrow, that wicked lawyer.
Oh, my goodness.
So this was the whole, and we thought, is this what is going to be for the Bill of Rights bicentennial?
Mm-hmm.
So living near Philadelphia, we went to Independence Park, and I had a visit with the acting park superintendent, and they had no plans at that point for anything. And here they had a whole commission on the bicentennial of the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights was the capstone.
Well,
there were no plans to observe it.
They were just going to ignore the Bill of Rights history.
They had an exhibit upstairs in the old Supreme Court building there beside Independence Hall with a copy of the document that was sent to the states for ratification. But that's all there was. And they did put together a program of lectures through the summer about the various amendments to the Constitution, and they had an event then on the bicentennial day itself. But they had not planned to do that before we approached.
Oh, my goodness.
So we determined the next year and every year since, we have been promoting Bill of Rights Day and hosting the banquet.
Yeah, and we'll just use that as a segue into the information on your 26th annual Bill of Rights commemorative banquet. When's that going to be? And give us some details on that.
Well, it will be coming up December 15th, Bill of Rights Day, which this year is on Friday. And it will be at Yoder's Restaurant in New Holland. It involves a dinner. There's musical entertainment. There's a guest speaker. Charlie Zahn will be bringing the music. And Lou Padalecchio Jr., though he's not technically a junior, but as he put it, he's the irascible prodigy of Lou and Laura Lynn Padalecchio.
I like the way you put that in the email,
Yeah, he's going to be speaking that evening. But the theme this year, considering 2017 is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, that milestone when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the church at Wittenberg. And the legacy of liberty is so intertwined with the legacy of
Martin Luther. And
even back in from Tyndale and Wycliffe, all of those had an interest in civil liberty.
Wow.
And religious liberty. And it's amazing in their life's work how prominent it was. And the translating of the scriptures into the native language was hand in hand with their desire for the people to have better knowledge of civil affairs as well as religious affairs.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Then they could connect. When we think of, I mean, we have so many Bibles here in the United States. We take it for granted that there have always been Bibles in English.
Right.
And we forget the history behind the martyrs, because ones who were killed, who were translating the Bible into English over in England, I mean, they were martyred for their attempt.
Not just in England. It was throughout Europe.
Well,
whenever someone translated the scripture into their native tongue, their life was in jeopardy, and they often paid in their own blood for having done so.
Yeah.
But for the banquet this year, there is a website that folks can go to for more information, and that is the Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee, and they can check on the event there on the Facebook page for Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee, or they can go to 2017 Bill of Rights Commemorative Banquet and get more information. The cost for adults is $28 a person. For youngsters 10 and under, it's $18, and for 2 years and under, it's free, but we just need to know they're coming.
Right, and the deadline's noon Wednesday, the 13th, Wednesday the 13th, noon?
Yes.
Is the deadline, okay.
And or they can email me if they'd like at kocherchj@verizon.net. That's kocherchj@verizon.net, K-O-C-H-E-R-C-J. CJ.
Okay, that should work. So you felt so strongly about this, the Bill of Rights, that you have had it for the last 26 years you've been holding this banquet.
Correct. And we've also, at each banquet, presented a Bill of Rights award to someone who, in whose life and work or something in the previous year, has represents a significant effort in the preservation of the Bill of Rights and of our God-given liberties.
Yeah. Let's just explain what the Bill of Rights is. There's 27 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. I believe that's the number. Just what is the Bill of Rights?
Well, the first 10 amendments are what make up the Bill of Rights. And it's very important to note that the document that Congress sent out to the individual states reads, to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, referring to the Constitution. So that would be to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. Further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. So these first 10 amendments to the Constitution were considered from the beginning to be declaratory and restrictive clauses. They were declaring these things to be so, as in when the Declaration says these are self-evident truths.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Congress, the first Congress under the Constitution in 1789, meeting in New York, drafted 12 amendments.
Okay.
And these 12 amendments to the states for their ratification. Of those 12, 10 were ratified, Virginia being the last state to meet the quota necessary on December the 15th, 1791. Thus, December the 15th is the date that the Bill of Rights Day.
Okay.
Right.
So the purpose of the Bill of Rights was to control the federal government.
Yes.
Limit its
restrictive
power.
On the constitutional government.
Yeah.
Yes, they deal mostly with individual rights. And when you look at the documents, each state in its ratifying convention for the Constitution had sent a list of amendments that they wanted added. And James Madison did an excellent job combining the many into the few, and many of them overlapped, of course, from state to state.
Right.
However, there were some, particularly Patrick Henry, who was disappointed that those things summed up in Amendment 9 and 10 pertaining to, well, let me just read those. They're very important.
Yeah.
Amendment number 9, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And in other words, if we have anything that's just because it's not listed here does not mean that the people do not still retain that right. Retained,
okay.
Because the Constitution was a document that was only extending certain powers to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was not expressly extended, then it was retained by the people.
Okay.
Amendment 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, it's important to note here the difference. Amendment 9 speaks of rights of the people. There's no mention of the state.
Right, correct.
In number 9. Amendment 10 speaks of powers delegated.
That are actually listed in the Constitution.
Yes.
Okay.
So there is a difference in powers delegated and in rights retained.
Okay.
Fine point.
Yeah, I just last night was reading, I mean, usually I just skim over Amendment 9, like, what does that mean? So I'm glad you explained that, because I viewed it as an unimportant amendment because I didn't understand exactly what it was meaning.
It's the catch-all for anything that's not listed in Amendments 1 through 8 as
mm-hmm.
the unalienable rights of the people.
Right.
It does not mean this is all there is. There are others
okay.
that may not be listed here.
Okay, wow. Yeah, we hear very, very, very little. We mostly hear about the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Tenth Amendment. Somewhat the Tenth Amendment. But the First and Second especially we hear about, and of course people taking the Fifth and when they're, you know, on trial or whatever. But the Tenth Amendment is ignored totally, seems to be, because the states have rights. The states seem to have forgotten that, and the federal government is becoming more and more powerful. And that's not what the Founding Fathers intended for the federal government to become.
Correct.
All-consuming monster, really, and in too many cases, interfering with someone's right, you know, to own property or right to do with their property what they want to, such as, you know, there's a spotted owl on your, or a bug on your property and can't plow the field.
Well, there are so many things in which the federal government has intruded itself, such as criminal law was always, is to be, a state issue.
Oh.
I mean, the federal government should have no impact on what is criminal or not in the individual states or what the penalties are to be.
Wow.
Criminal law and marriage laws. We
oh,
don't
marriage for
amendment.
Sure, yeah.
Those laws pertaining to marriage are a matter for states
yeah,
to resolve
absolutely.
Each individual state.
Of course, we know what happened in 2015 with the U.S. Supreme Court decision, which there's so many decisions, even with the life decision in 1973, the federal government, the Supreme Court has no right to make a determination. Like you're saying, it's a state's rights issue, and it should be left up to the states as to how they want to deal with abortion. I mean, some states at that point even had passed laws legalizing abortion, and it's the same as in 2015, some states had passed laws to legalize so-called same-sex marriage. But Congress is refusing to do what they should do in carrying out impeachment proceedings against some of these judges.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They do have a responsibility, as the Congress assembled, to ensure a small r Republican form of government. Mm-hmm. And we are pretty well almost tipped over the edge toward a capital S socialistic
form of government. At a minimum, we're an oligarchy. I mean, we're controlled by 9 people sitting in on the Supreme Court benches in Washington, D.C.
I had the opportunity to hear a presentation by Judge Roy Moore on the Obergefell case.
Okay, right.
And he was going through the legal history of Supreme Court decisions and their impact. And it is so clear that the presumption that the decision in that case was supposed to apply nationwide is a new twist. Case after case and even justice after justice was quoted as to how the Supreme Court's decisions, how far those decisions had an impact.
Yeah, until it's overturned.
In spite of that, there was even a case that the state of Alabama had its own self that was waiting to be heard by the Supreme Court, and the outcome of that decision would impact the proceeding. And he merely instructed the judges that they did not have to comply, and legally why they didn't have to comply.
Well, exactly, because I think it was 81% of Alabama voters voted to pass a constitutional amendment of defining marriage as between one man and one woman.
It's egregious.
It is. It absolutely is. I pray that people will be awakened or be educated on what the Bill of Rights is, what the Constitution is even, what the Declaration of Independence is, because people don't know what those documents say. And I'm so glad that you and Eric, or your husband Eric, are so good at educating on the Bill of Rights and having this banquet each year to help educate people.
For those who may not be able to come to the banquet, I have the suggestion of if they would invite some friends over to their home or invite them to meet at a local restaurant, a favorite coffee shop or whatever, and on that day, December the 15th, read aloud the Bill of Rights, including the preamble to the Bill of Rights, the preliminary remarks. They're very essential to the proper understanding of it.
Okay, great.
And there's also a couple of websites I would like to recommend.
Okay.
One is teachingamericanhistory.org.
Okay, teachingamericanhistory.org. Okay.
And it's a project of the Ashbrook Center at Ashland University in Ohio. But they have a wonderful, just an extensive resource for the history, the background. And if you go to the Teacher Resources tab that's on their homepage, and then underneath there you'll see Bill of Rights exhibit. And then from there are so many options of things pertaining to the Bill of Rights.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, that's the teachingamericanhistory.org with Ashland University. And another one is billofrightsinstitute.org. They have some good information under their educator resources at the educator tab.
Okay, it's billofrightsinstitute.org.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, great.
And like I said, the Constitution Center has many events going on that day. There are some of them I would love to be there just to see the perspective that they're putting on it from the topics that they have listed, but I can't do that and the banquet.
Yeah, both on the same day, yeah.
But go there. If you go to the National Constitution Center, go there with understanding that they do not recognize the creator.
Absolutely.
And they have adopted their whole display upstairs is an ACLU-sanctioned accounting of the Bill of Rights, the whole history of it. But in Signers Hall, those are worthy men who are portrayed there. So.
Yeah, and actually I was surprised. They actually had Bibles up in the, I believe it was probably that in the Signers Hall, actually portrayed Bibles.
That's historically accurate.
Yeah, that is historically accurate. So there are some things in the National Constitution Center that are historically accurate, but then there are other ones such as dealing with the Bill of Rights. The ACLU is good at misrepresenting the Bill of Rights, so and that's very unfortunate. So what is an APT certified tour guide?
The APT is the Association of Philadelphia Tour Guides.
Okay.
That originated, frankly, 10 years ago when Philadelphia passed the law that you had to have a license to be a tour guide in Philadelphia.
Oh, I see.
And
more government overreach.
Believe me, some of the stories I have heard about things that people are telling are just unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
So rather than go through the licensing, then several of the qualified tour guides did a tremendous work in putting together a resource book and then preparing a test that individuals can take.
Uh-huh.
But it covers all of Philadelphia history. It covers the architectural, the social, the economic,
wow.
the industrial, political, social, I mean, all aspects mm-hmm. of Philadelphia history.
Wow.
And so I have my certification having passed that test. Now, they have another test for Master Tour Guide, which I haven't taken. I mm-hmm. would have to do a lot more study for that one.
Yeah, yeah. And American Liberty Tour. So you actually do tours.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And
good.
It's a real joy. I love doing it on the street in Philadelphia, on site, but I also have PowerPoint programs that I'm happy to bring to folks who are not able
mm-hmm.
To come for whatever reason,
right.
to a schoolroom or to, you know, it's too far for them to come. So.
Okay, like 5-hour drive, 6-hour drive.
Right.
But I'm still hoping to get a group to come to one of your tours, though. So, again, thanks so much, Karis. And for those listeners who might be interested, and I hope there are a lot, who are interested in attending the Bill of Rights Commemorative Banquet, that'll be on Bill of Rights Day, December 15th. And it begins, I think registration begins at 6 at the banquet, but have to pre-register and pay the $28 fee by Wednesday the 13th by noon. So, and go to their Facebook page, do the search for Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee.
Yes.
So that they find, okay, it's Facebook page, Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee, for more information and how to get the check to Karis. Thanks.
They can call me.
Okay, yeah.
610-476-3482.
Yeah, and give us your email address again.
CocherCJ@Verizon.net.
Okay, that's
K-O-C-H-E-R-C-J.
At Verizon.net. Thanks so much, Karis, for teaching so much about the Bill of Rights and keeping us updated on stuff. Take care, and we'll hopefully see you on the 15th.
Yes.
If it's not snowing here. Okay, hey, take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.